All right, guys, welcome to the Salute Baptist Church Youth Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Brandon, and thank you for joining us as we recap this week in our youth ministry. So it's been a couple weeks since we have had a podcast. We've had a lot going on at our church. We've had VBS last week. Week before that, we were on our mission trip with Mission Serve to Savannah, Georgia. And so even tonight, I'm recording this after our youth Bible study. It was not a normal Wednesday night. We had about half of our group go and be with our kids, explaining to them what we did on our mission trip, and kind of talking to them and explaining why we go and what we did, and even inviting them to join us in sharing the gospel and working through how we did that. So even our youth Bible study wasn't the same. It was a little bit different, but I'm still excited to be here to be recording this. And so hopefully, as you listen, we're going to be talking a little bit about Mission Serve. And over the next several weeks, we're going to have some youth on that are going to give some testimonies. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, and even what the future holds for next summer, and also just other mission opportunities that are coming up with our youth group. But to get started, we're going to jump right in to our first segment, which is the scripture of the week. And each week we want to go through the scripture that we are focusing on for our youth Bible study. And so tonight, for our youth Bible study on Wednesday night, we were in Matthew 6. We were still continuing through with that, going through the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're in Matthew 6, and we were focusing on Matthew 6, verses 25-34. And tonight was a little bit different. You know, in our youth Bible study, we actually watched a video of another pastor kind of going through this text, but he actually combined Matthew 6, verses 19-24 and verses 25-34, and kind of talked through them together. And on our podcast, we kind of broke those up. The last podcast, we went through verses 19-24, and we kind of dived into them specifically. And so what I want to do on this episode, I want to primarily focus on verses 25-34, but I might refer back to the section before that. And so just to give us a little bit of context, in verses 19-24 of Matthew 6, Jesus is talking about possessions, and he's talking about seeking treasures on earth or seeking treasures in heaven. And basically he's asking the question, you know, what are we treasuring? You know, what are the things that we treasure most? Is it things of this world, or are we treasuring things that are eternal? Are we seeking our treasures in heaven? Because only those things are going to be eternal. Only those things are going to last forever. And one thing I want to draw out that we talked about in the youth Bible study is that when you think about God and you think about what he treasures, and right, if we're in his kingdom, if we're a part of his kingdom, if we're citizens in his kingdom, we should want to treasure the things that he treasures. And I don't think God treasures money. I don't think he treasures power, success, because he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's already king. He created everything that exists. So he already has everything. That's not what he treasures. If you think about what God treasures, and especially on this earth, if you think about what he treasures on this earth, I think you're going to see that it's people. I think he treasures us. I think the thing on this earth that he treasures the most would be us, would be our souls, would be, you know, people coming to him and giving their life to him to be a part of his kingdom. And so what was kind of brought out in our Bible study was that as citizens of God's kingdom, we need to treasure people as God treasures people and seek to share the gospel with them and take every opportunity that we have. Because that's where the greatest treasure, that is where the eternal treasure lies. Our treasure lies in, you know, in being with God, because he is eternal. And so on earth, the greatest thing that we can do, that we can invest in, it's people giving their lives to him and spending eternity with him. And so I thought that was very interesting that kind of came up through our study tonight. But after we look at verses 19 through 24, and we see this kind of shift of not focusing on the material things, you know, not focusing on the things of this world, not making money our master, but instead making God our master and seeking eternal reward. The scripture we're looking at now, verses 25 through 34, is very interesting that it comes right after, you know, where we're storing up our treasures. Because if you look at verse 25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life." Now, we could just stop right there, right? "Therefore I tell you, don't worry." Or it could, you know, you could kind of translate that, "Stop worry." Don't worry or stop worry. I don't think I've ever met a single person that has ever not worried about something. That worry wasn't an issue that they struggle with. That worry wasn't something that they dealt with on a daily basis. And here we see Jesus saying, "Don't worry." And I find this very interesting that we see the topic of worrying coming right after Jesus says, "Hey, don't focus on earthly treasures, focus on heavenly spiritual treasures." And then he comes right after that by saying, "Don't worry." And I wonder how many times in our life we face worry or anxiety or whatever you want to call it, because we are focusing on trying to obtain these earthly treasures, whether that's money, success, a job, a sport, family, a loved one, whatever. That we're trying so hard to obtain these earthly treasures that is causing our worry and that is causing our anxiety. Because I think Jesus saw that connection. I think that's why in the Sermon on the Mount, we see him talking about these treasures, where we store our treasures, and then he goes right into it by saying, "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life." He's saying, don't store up for yourself treasures in heaven or on earth. Store it for yourself spiritual treasures, treasures in heaven. Don't focus on things that are going to decay and rust and be stolen. And he's saying, don't do that. "Therefore, I tell you, because of what I just said, don't worry about your life." Now, I know that anxiety, worry, those emotions, those feelings, it can paralyze us. It can paralyze us physically. Like, I know there's been times in my own life because of worry or because of anxiety over a wide variety of situations where I have physically not been able to move, to do anything. Like, I've just been in this state of worrying about something so much that I didn't want to leave my house. There's been moments where I've had panic attacks because I've been worrying about things and I physically couldn't function. Because anxiety and worry can emotionally, physically, and spiritually drain us. And it can rob us of joy, of peace, of sleep, so many other things. And that is why when we come to this scripture, we see Jesus saying, "Don't worry." Now, you know, as Christians, yes, we face so many trials and we face so many challenges each day, but I've heard this said that the greatest battle or battles that we fight in the Christian life are in our minds. That's especially true when it comes to this idea of worry. Now, I'm going to say something, and this is could be controversial, but I believe that worry is a sin. I believe that when we worry, now I'm not talking about struggle with anxiety or depression, or for someone that, you know, has a legitimate, you know, problem or issue where they struggle with anxiety and there's things in their brain that cause them to not be able to process things or cope with things. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about legitimate just worry and anxiety from the sense of, hey, we are trying to fix and solve and we're stressing over problems of this life. Not a mental disorder, not something that a sickness that we legitimately have, because some people do have a struggle with anxiety. Now, I'm not saying that the scripture can't help with that too, because it absolutely can. I believe Jesus can cure anything and everything. He, you know, he is the great healer. And even when it comes to anxiety, you know, a clinical anxiety, I believe that God can deliver us from that. But when it just comes to worry and anxiety over the things of this life, I believe that is a sin, because I believe ultimately worry is a symptom of unbelief. That when we truly worry and we get in this place where we're just so worried about, you know, different things. I mean, I could list and go on and on about things that we worry about. I believe that is a symptom of us not trusting and not believing in God for that thing. And so I believe that Jesus here in verses 25 through 34 is going to walk us through, and in my Bible, you know, in bold letters right above it, it says the cure for anxiety. Now, I don't know if cure is the right word. I don't know if that is the word I would use to describe what Jesus is kind of walking us through here. Like, oh, if you do this, it's going to cure it. You know, you're never going to be anxious again. You're never going to worry about anything again. But what I do believe Jesus is doing here is teaching us and showing us how to deal with worry and how to manage worry and how to manage anxiety. Because yes, as I said earlier, I do believe that worry is a sin, but I believe it is in a sense where we don't manage it, where we don't give it to the Lord and we let it take over. And so I believe what Jesus is walking us through here is what to do. You know, he's saying, don't worry about your life. Jesus is showing us, hey, when that temptation to worry comes, this is what you need to do. And so in verse 25, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, here we see Jesus talk about all the main things, right? The essential things. We got what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and then our bodies, what we're going to wear. Those are all basic things that humans need. We need, you know, to drink. We need water to survive. We need to eat. We need food to be able to function. We need clothing. We need to be able to clothe ourselves to keep ourselves warm, to protect ourselves. We need those things. And if you think about one of the biggest things that people worry about, making money to provide food, to provide clothing, to provide shelter, all those things that we need to live, that's going to be number one on everybody's list. Do I have a job? Can I pay my bills? Do I make enough money? How can I get to my job? I mean, that's the number one thing. That's going to be up there, worrying about all these essential things. But then we see that Jesus says here in verse 25, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now think about that question. Is life more than just what you eat or drink? Is life more than just what you wear? Absolutely. There's so much more to life. There's so many more things that we enjoy. There's so many more things that life can offer us for us to be so focused and worried about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. Are those things important? Absolutely. But Jesus, what he's doing, you know, very early on is saying, hey, when you worry and you focus so much on these things, life is so much more. Being in God's kingdom is so much more than what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. And so when we worry about those things, we are robbing ourselves of all that God can offer us. I mean, we need those things, but life is so much more than that. And then he specifically, looking at food, gives an illustration in verse 26. It says, consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? So he's like, think about the birds. I mean, they don't worry about all those things. They don't plant crops in the ground. They don't harvest. They don't store things. Yet, they're fed for. They're fed for by their heavenly Father, by our heavenly Father. It says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So the question that we're asking, you know, Jesus is asking us, aren't we worth more than they? And of course we are. God created us in his image. So why do we worry about what we're going to eat? Why do we worry about these things when God created us above the birds and he provides for them? We need to trust that he is going to provide for us. Now, he goes on in verse 27. It says, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? Wow. You know, think about that. No matter how much you worry, no matter how much you anxiously think about, okay, you know, how can I live longer or this or that? Nothing that you can do is going to add to your lifespan. I mean, when it's your time, when it's time for all of us to go home to be with the Lord, we're going to go. I mean, there's nothing that we can do about it. And so what Jesus is saying here is, you know, who can add one moment of your life by worrying? I mean, none of us can. Jesus is asking these questions and you know, he knows the answers. It's rhetorical question. It's common sense stuff. We can't add one day by worrying, but we can lose a day. We can lose a week. We can miss what God has in front of us right now by worrying, but we're not going to add anything to it. Now, I'm not saying we can't be wise. I'm not saying, hey, if we're planning a trip somewhere, we can't. But hey, what are places that are safe? Or what? You know, I'm not saying not to plan, not to be wise. I'm not saying anything like that. But worrying, like this hyper-focus, that's just robbing us. And then Jesus goes into another illustration. Now looking at clothing, verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers in the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So again, he gives this illustration about clothing. Another thing that we possibly could worry about, like, am I going to have clothing? What, you know, I need this. I need clothing to keep myself warm, to protect myself. Even the wildflowers of the field, they are clothed. Jesus goes on to say that it's greater than all of Solomon and all his splendor. Yet they don't worry. God clothes them. And then he says it again, won't he do much more for you? But then he adds on, you of little faith. He hits the main point there. In our worry, in our anxiety, when we worry about all of these things, we're letting go of our faith that God's going to provide for us. And that's what happens when we worry about all the troubles and all the little things of life, is our faith, it wavers. It moves off of God. And it moves onto ourselves and what we can do and what we can provide for ourselves. Verse 31 says, so don't worry saying, what will we eat? or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Wow. Now Jesus is saying, when you worry and you worry and you seek after, hey, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? We're acting like the Gentiles. We're acting like the non-believers when we focus so much on all these things instead of trusting in God to provide for us. Because it says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows what we need. So he wants us to trust that he's going to provide those things. We need to trust that he is going to take care of all of our needs. And that's why in verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. We need to trust that God is going to take care of what we need now, and he's going to take care of us in our future. Because life is more than just food and clothing. The birds are fed. You know, anxiety and worry is not going to get us anymore. God takes care of the birds. He's going to take care of us. And so instead of being like the unbeliever and worrying about all these things, we trust that God is going to provide what we need. And when we seek him first, when we honor him first, he is going to provide for us now and for our future. And then he ends with verse 34 by saying, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many times do we worry so much about what's going to happen tomorrow, or what's going to happen in a week from now, or what's going to happen in a month from now, when all we're doing is taking those troubles from tomorrow and putting it on today? When we have enough things in our life that we need to deal with, why worry about tomorrow when we're just adding on to the trouble of today? When God is saying, Jesus is trying to teach them, hey, just trust that he's going to provide for you now. Now, I think there's four things, and in the video that we watched in our youth Bible study, there were these four words that were pulled out of this scripture that when we do worry, when we are anxious about things, there are these four words that we should ask ourselves about whatever it is that we are worried about, to put it in perspective. The first one was power. Is the thing that I'm worried about, does the thing that I'm worried about have the power to change my life? Does it have the power to help me? Ultimately, only Jesus has the power to help us. Only God has what we need. Only God can provide those things that we need. Only he has that power. All those other things we're worried about are powerless. So why do we worry? Why are we anxious about those things? Instead, turn to the all-powerful one. Second, faith. Where do I put my faith and security? Am I putting in that thing that I'm worried about? Or is my faith and my security in the Lord? Because if my faith is in him, then I shouldn't be worried about that thing. Third, focus. Focus. What is the primary focus of my life? What is the thing that I'm seeking to obtain? Is it that thing, or is it the Lord Jesus? And then lastly, value. What do I value above all other things? Is it what I'm worried about? Is it what I'm anxious about? Or is it Jesus? And I think if we put Jesus first, we're going to tend to not worry so much about those other things when we value him first, when he is our focus, when we put our complete faith in him, when we trust in his power to care for us. And so I think if we think about those four words, power, faith, focus, value, when we deal with worry and anxiety, I think that will help us to find the proper focus. And so that is our scripture of the week, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And I encourage you, please take some time and read through the scripture and just pray and meditate on those things, because Jesus doesn't want us to be crippled by worry and anxiety. Instead, he wants us to run to him and trust in him to provide for us. So before we conclude this episode of our podcast, man, it's just been an awesome past couple weeks you know, in our church, we like I said, last week was Vacation Bible School. Week before that, we were gone on our trip to Mission Serve in Savannah, Georgia. And I just want to say, I look forward to talking more in depth with some of our students about that. But, you know, I am not exaggerating when I say that the students, the 27 students we took, God did something incredible through them. I mean, I saw students praying with each other, praying with strangers, complete strangers, going up to doors, talking to people, doing things that I even see, you know, Christians that have been Christians for 30 plus years, that they won't go and do something that I see these kids do. And God just did something incredible and used them in such an amazing way. And I can't wait to get some of them on here and talk to them about that. But not only did that happen in Savannah, but we came back the very next week for Vacation Bible School, and we had students that wanted to go to Food Lion and talk to people and invite them to Vacation Bible School. And we still have students even today, you know, talking about how they're praying, you know, with their waitresses and just having gospel conversations with people. And God is just up to something incredible in our students. And I just can't wait to talk a little bit further with some of them. But the one thing I really want to hammer home that I think God has been working in me, just seeing our students and even hearing from them, even from tonight. You know, one of our students, and I'm not going to say who said it just yet. Hopefully they will want to share that themselves. But in talking with our kids, they made this statement that God wants to use us right now, right where we are. And that just made me think, how many times, you know, even as a youth pastor, am I looking for the next thing? Whether it's a mission trip or a camp, you know, we're getting ready to go to our youth camp here in a couple of days. Is it a fifth quarter? Is it a lock-in? Is it whatever? Am I looking for that next thing? A Bible study, right? For the regular person, Sunday morning, worship service. Am I looking for that thing for God to use instead of looking for the everyday moments where I am to let Him use me right now? And I just thought that was so profound from a 14-year-old. You know, let God use us right now. So I hope this blesses you. I hope this encourages you. I'm excited that we're going to be back onto our schedule of having a podcast episode every week. So can't wait to talk to you guys and have another episode come out next week. Like always, if you have any questions you would like us to answer on the podcast, please submit them. You can email me, call me, text me, or walk up to me in person. I'd love to answer your questions. And again, hope this blesses you and look forward to talking to you next time. God bless.